up after 6 o'clock, Dr. Kevin Most will join us from Northwestern Medicine, talk about the Rona in the Chicago area. Pretty good numbers, actually. Especially the death rate number has gone down significantly here in the state of Illinois over the last couple of weeks. And that's good news, as it has been rising around the rest of the country. But how do we keep ourselves safe? We'll answer all those questions and your questions, most importantly, at 312-981-7200 after 6 o'clock. Right now, joining us, our friend Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs. You know him, you love him. He has the YouTube channel. His mother wrote a book about him and, really about her and her love. The part I love about your mother's book, Mike, and we had her on a couple of weeks ago to talk about, actually a couple of months ago now. We've talked a number of times during this outbreak, and thank you for all the time you've been spending with us. But she wrote an amazing book about her love affair with your dad, and basically, and I really do love this one moment, because this is really true. She did, do you love Dad more than you love me? And she basically said, yeah, I do, Mike. Now go out and get a job.
Yeah, and it went both ways, too. The old man said the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, my brothers and I were lucky. We grew up with parents who loved us shamelessly and unapologetically, but there was never a doubt in any of our minds that they loved each other more.
That's great.
And, you know, I mean, I really do wonder sometimes what that does, you know, to kids nowadays, when, you know, we tell them, look, there's nothing in the world more important than you. You. The sun rises and sets on you. And I was lucky in hindsight. I never felt that way.
Right.
I felt loved, but I knew my place.
Yeah. I mean, what happens is the world kicks you in the teeth a couple of times after that. When you leave the nest and you think it is about you, and you find out it's not about you, whether you get into, you need to leave home for whatever reason, whether you go to school or you end up going to work, you get married, whatever it is, and the real world will disabuse you of that notion eventually. Some people go kicking and screaming.
Yeah, but it's not just the world, it's the universe. I narrate a show for Discovery called How the Universe Works, and in the first season I kind of realized, you know, we all start off on the planet thinking we're the sun. Then we got older and we realized, oh, we're not the sun, we're just a planet. And it's like, no, we're not even a planet, really. We're just like a moon. It's like, no, you're not really a moon. You're more like an asteroid. Or maybe a comet.
Not even.
Or maybe you're not even in this galaxy.
No, sometimes you're just a speck of dust. A speck of dust,
yeah.
Micro.
Yes. Humble. Right. Humble to the last.
Yes, you gotta be, because if you aren't, well, the minute you lose humility, then you'll find it again. It's just a matter. It's an arc. It's like everything else. I'm glad you mentioned it, because there's physics to all of this, Mike Rowe. All right, tell me about the Dirty Jobs road trip, ROWE'D. What is that all about?
Well, I mean, to riff on what you just said, my grandfather said, if you're not laughing, the joke's on you. And that was a big part of Dirty Jobs from the beginning. The joke was always on me. If there was a punchline, it was on me. My job on that show was to be an apprentice. And we did 300 jobs over 12 years. And we've been out of production since 2012. COVID came along. Essential work became headline news. The network called and said, you know, you hosted the granddaddy of essential working shows. Do you want to bring it back? And I said, oh, God, well, yes and no. You know, I mean, Dirty Jobs, the way we used to do it, will probably kill me if we go back into it full steam ahead, because that was a very, very physical show.
Yeah, but what a great show, Mike. I mean, come on. It was
best thing I ever did.
Yeah, it's one of the best things that television ever did, because it not only glorified those who need the glory that very rarely ever get it, but it also made people understand how essential all of that is.
Well, look, out of sight and out of mind basically was the reason Dirty Jobs hit. People realized there was a whole section of work going on around them that they had just taken for granted. But the reason this thing is happening tomorrow night is because we were supposed to be in the field, you know, shooting this thing for real. But obviously, Corona comes along, can't do that. So I rented an RV. I got my old crew together. We all got tested. We got in the RV. And we started driving around the country. And as we drove, we looked back on our favorite episodes, and we checked in with some of our favorite dirty jobbers. So it's a road trip, R-O-W-E-D, because I'm terribly clever. But really, it's a reunion show and a chance to check back at some of the people who really have become beloved fan favorites.
Yes.
This damn thing aired so many times, Ro, that the people featured on it have become sort of legends in their own community. So it's just really a kick to check back with them.
When we were talking a couple of months ago, and you mentioned that this show had been off the air, that Dirty Joe's been off the air since 2012, I'm like, was I in a coma? How did that happen? I thought it was like still in production, as a matter of fact, because it does appear in places. All right, hold on one second. We'll come right back to Mike Rowe. And you got a question for Mike Rowe? You got a comment for Mike Rowe? 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. Let's all enjoy the conversation. But first, here is Don Klepp, and he's got the WGN traffic. Mike Rowe is with us, our friend. He's the guy from Dirty Jobs. And Dirty Jobs is returning to the Discovery Channel tomorrow night, Dirty Jobs Road Trip. It premieres tomorrow night. How many episodes will there be?
A million, although we're still negotiating. we shot four, so every Tuesday in July, and then we'll see how they do.
God, I love that show. And what now? Let's go back to some of your before I even ask you what some of these are, and we got some phone calls. I want to get right to those too. 312-981-7200. People got questions or comments for the great Mike Rowe. What were your favorite of those that you went back and it always stuck with you? The stories you told.
Well, that's really the question we answer in these specials, because my favorite component of the show was the fact that I got to work with the same crew for 12 years. So getting back together and talking to these cameramen who, usually went into the hole before I did in many cases, and, catching up with them and getting their answer to that question is good fun. Personally, for me, it's tough to beat the really high places and the really claustrophobic places. They weren't easy to shoot, and they weren't pleasant, but they make for amazing TV. And the first special is dedicated to the tightest, most claustrophobic places we ever jammed ourselves. Because I figure, after 6 months of being jammed up, this is what the country needs to see.
Right.
And they'll feel better about their own.
Right. It can always get worse, right? That's what my parents always told me. It can always get worse. They were optimists.
This was the show that proved that. Yeah. But honestly, it was always less about the dirt and less about the jobs. It didn't feel like it at the time, but it was really about the people. And the people that I remember most, I stay in touch with. I'm in touch with 40 or 50 of these guys, the pig farmer from Las Vegas, the crazy welder hanging upside down from the bridge in Michigan. I mean, they've all become friends, and checking back in with them now seems the least we can do. If we're really going to talk about essential work, they wrote the book on it.
Yep. Okay, speaking of Mackinac and that bridge, we got a question about that. 312-981-7200. Hi, Harry.
Hi, Ro. Hi, Mike. I drive across that bridge, Mike, every summer. The Mackinac Bridge, which goes over the confluence of Lake Huron and Lake Michigan. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, did you really walk up that thing? Because I saw that episode, and I was scared watching it.
Yeah, I was scared doing it. Look, the funny thing about that episode was sometimes on camera, I'll ask questions assuming the answer is going to be no. And we had done all the work on the bridge we were going to. It was Memorial Day, I think, 2006 or maybe 8. Anyway, I said to the guy in charge, who's a government worker, I said, hey, just for grins, why don't I walk across that girder and then go up the cable to change some of those light bulbs, knowing he was going to say no, because there's no way a government agency is going to let me do that. This crazy son of a gun looked me square in the face on camera and said, sure, why not? Well, the next sound was my sphincter slamming shut. And after that, I crawled up that cable for real. We had a helicopter there with us too, and changed about a dozen light bulbs. And
do you remember how high it was? Because that's at one time, that was the longest steel span in the world.
Yeah, it's the longest suspension bridge in the country. We're close to it. It's like three times longer than the Golden Gate, and it's a little higher. It's about 580 feet at the top, I think.
Yeah,
and Yeah, and I was at the top, and I was also at the bottom. They let us clean the inside of those little steel coffin honeycombs underwater. Not advisable.
No, I don't think so. Harry, thank you very much. Thanks for remembering that. I remember that episode really, really well, too. And every time I've been up there since, a couple times, and I've driven under that bridge, or go, like in the water, when you go either out to the island or you take one of those rides through there, depending on where you're disembarking from, you go under the bridge. Mm-hmm. And it is, it's so awe-inspiring to think about the fact that that bridge is what, like a not quite 100 years old? I can't remember exactly what year it was built, but when they were building that thing, how they could possibly have done it. You don't just do it in the summer when it's beautiful, when we're up there, you do it year round when that sucker starts to freeze around there. That is, it's crazy. Crazy.
It's a miracle. Everybody should sail under that bridge and just look up. You'll be gobsmacked.
John, you're on WGN. Say hello to Mike Rowe.
Hello, Mike. Hey, you're also my man John. Crush. But hey, I can't remember how years ago you did a TED Talk, and it was about what if we're wrong about safety first? Maybe it's second or third. And I guess my question is, do you still believe that?
I do, actually, and I've gotten in some hot water recently because obviously our country's having a big conversation about risk and how much we should eliminate risk and where we draw the line between surviving and living. And look, safety is way too important a thing to rate, and the whole safety first culture and the whole notion of saying safety first actually led to a lot of unintended accidents on my show. So as a way to avoid complacency, we started saying safety third, and that generated a whole giant conversation around big topics like homeostatic risk and risk equilibrium and all these other things. But it's really interesting today, John, to see it unfolding in the press as people try and figure out, you know, what to do with the mask, when and when not. How do we navigate all of this information, and at what point do we emerge from our cocoon to go back to work? It's a very personal thing, and it's kind of like the country's going through the five stages of grief, you know, all at different different rates.
Exactly right.
But risk and safety are absolutely headline news all the time.
Yeah, and thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it, John. I'm glad you said that, because today is our first day with our full complement of show. A couple of our people are still off for the vacation, but that we're all back in the studio. It's the first time that we've been almost 4 months. And it is very liberating. It's also so much easier to do. People forget how easy it is. And going to an office is, there is something therapy. Going to work, leaving your home to go do something, you start to feel a little bit like a cave person. I don't know if that's politically correct. I don't know. But a caver, when you're at home and you're doing everything at home, you know, you feel like you're only going out to find sustenance and then come back into the cave. The idea of socializing, it does change everything. But, you know, again, this is a risk probability situation. Partying on a boat, like we've been talking about, there's the mayor here, Mayor Life, was very mad about some of the behavior over the weekend, and yeah, I mean that kind of risk, is that really worth it to continue to spread it? But we are going to be, you know, having to emerge at some point. We talked about this when we were first talking at the beginning of this thing, Mike Rowe, we got to get back to work too.
Well, look, I mean, it's funny that you look, we want to eat what we kill. That is a caveman thing. And, you know, in my own weird little privileged world, you know, I'm lucky. I get to narrate half a dozen really great shows. And years ago, I put a studio in my apartment because I thought it would be way, way more efficient and I could get more done and I wouldn't have to leave. Well, after 2 months of it, I was ready to throw myself off the balcony. You know, I like getting in the car. I like driving to another place where my bed isn't. Right. I like going inside and saying hello to people and ordering lunch and then telling sad stories about the wildebeest trying to get across the vast reaches of the barren Serengeti and then going back home, right? It's like that's inculcated in our in our DNA. Right. I don't care what you do for money.
Hard day at the office, honey? Yeah, real hard day. Well, right. It was for the wildebeest.
The sofa to the chair.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, and by the way, it never works out for the wildebeest, Ro, just so you know.
I have noticed that. All right. Dirty Jobs Road Trip premieres tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel, and it's going to be Tuesday nights for at least the next 4 weeks. We are very happy to welcome it back, so you can go back and you go back to some of the stories that you told before, and we learn where the people are now and what the evolution of that whole thing is. And thank you, Mike Ro, for what you have done for the working men and women of this country. You really are a hero to all of us. So that, I mean, I don't include myself in that group. I'm just saying that you're a hero to all of us for telling those stories. Mike Ro, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Anytime. Appreciate it.
We got the news coming your way in 2 minutes.